Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest, things that you're probably interested in, and we want to be able to help you know more about it. Our guest today on Voices is Chrissy Miller, graduated from Slidell High School, was involved with Passion for Purity for a number of years and the Governor's Program on Abstinence a few years ago. She's a worship leader in the church. Chrissy graduated from Oral Roberts University with a Bachelor of Music's degree in sacred music. She's done all kind of cool things. She was a performer in Porgy and Bess. She was a featured soloist with the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra at Preservation Hall. She sung at Carnegie Hall in New York, if you can believe that. And we're just honored to have Chrissy here today. So welcome, Chrissy.
Hello. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you guys today. Hello, Slidell.
We were with you a few weeks ago at the Mayor's Community Prayer Breakfast, which is always an awesome thing. You were the featured speaker. And one of the things that you talked about that really tweaked my interest was you were talking about people investing in other people. Mm-hmm. You know, we can raise money, we can have projects, we can have programs, we can do all kind of fancy things. But you know, when it comes down to it, it really just takes people who mm-hmm. are interested in people.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit how that came about in your life, why that's important to you, and let's see where we'll go with that.
Sure, absolutely. So as I was studying in the Word, I really, really enjoy and appreciate the relationship that the Apostle Paul had with Timothy. And that's really where the things that I shared at the breakfast came from. It was based on Paul and Timothy and basically that mentor relationship that they had with each other. Because Paul really took Timothy under his wing. He obviously had a mother and a father, but it mentions his father, but not that his father really had an impact on his spiritual upbringing. But it really tunes in on his mom and his grandmother, who raised him up to fear the Lord, and when they connected with each other. I love that Paul took so much time, so much of his energy, so much of his knowledge and his experience and his wisdom, and he really intentionally poured that into Timothy. I mean, he wrote two books to him, so I would bear to say that it's probably a good relationship that they had, that Paul really wanted to make sure that Timothy was prepared to be the best man of God, the most competent man of God that he could be in the early church. Really, he had a huge task of sharing the gospel, of bringing up the church, of this very grassroots of the church in a time when they really needed to be encouraged. And so when Paul couldn't be there himself, he poured into Timothy so that Timothy would be available to share the word of God, to admonish the people. And I believe that that type of relationship really had a great impact on the coming of age of the church. And so even today, I feel like that type of relationship is so valid and so important and so crucial to the growth of our own community. Just like the beginning of the church grew, our community still needs to grow. And so it's so important that we have those relationships, the relationship between Paul and Timothy, so that we can grow as a community.
Were there people involved in your life that poured into you and that made a difference? Can you tell us a little bit, if that happened, what was it about?
Yes, absolutely. I am so grateful for all of the Pauls that I have had in my life right here in our own community. Many people that everyone has known, and they've been in our community for a long time. For example, when I was just a teenager, I would say my first mentor was Cindy Collins, who is the director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And she took me under her wing when I was a young teenager. She had visited my youth group. When I was a kid, I went to Community Christian. She visited there and talked to our youth group. I was just really drawn to her, and I think that she was drawn to me. she'd probably say. And she encouraged me at that time. They were starting, Passion for Purity had been around for just a couple of years, and they were finally taking it not just as a community group for young adults, but they were bringing it into the high schools for the first time. And so she encouraged me, along with my best friend during high school, which was Sarah DeSalvo, to really help her to bring this into the high schools. And so it was not anything I had ever done or experienced before or thought that I was capable of doing. But, you know, I think I've always been kind of that go-getter and willing to just try new things. And so we got involved and started the Passion for Purity at Slidell High School. And before I knew it and before I had graduated, I was kind of serving and leading the groups at all of the high schools, and kind of being the overseeing person. And it was really great because obviously as I was still just a teenager and with lots of responsibilities. I think the thing that I loved about Miss Cindy the most and what reminds me of Paul the most is that she was not afraid to delegate and say, you know, I'm entrusting this to you, and giving me the tools that I needed, or sometimes just kind of pushing me out there and saying, I know you can figure this out. Or, you know, so, you know, go get this prepared for this presentation, or hey, I need you to speak in front of these people. Just like, I'm just a kid. And you know, just like Paul would tell Timothy, you know, don't let people look down on you because you're young. That was the scripture that Miss Cindy would always tell me. But, you know, you be the example by the way that you live, by the way that you talk, by the way that you work with other people. And so she was my Paul. She still is my Paul, and I have definitely been her Timothy. To grow and to just see everything that she invested in me, I have seen such great use of it. And, you know, at times when you're a kid, you don't think of, you know, 20 years from now, I'm going to be using this for this, or this will open this opportunity or this door, or it'll prepare me for this. But that's exactly what it did. I couldn't have imagined when I was a kid. I actually had a radio show on her radio station, and I had my little once a week talk, and I would actually interview, you know, honestly, it's a lot like this show. I would interview people from the community. I would get their perspective on things. We would talk about youth and youth ministry and, you know, just highlighting people in the communities.
You know, listening to what you say about Cindy, you know, we talk about impartation of gifts and passing gifts on, but that's really not what she did. She really opened the door and opened your eyes so you could dig the gifts out of your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
That God gave you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like she was trying to remake you in her image,
right,
or a preconceived notion of this is what a young Christian woman should look like, but rather she found somebody who was willing to listen, willing to take good counsel, and then you turned around and started pulling stuff out of yourself to be able to say, I can do this, I can do that.
Right.
With a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help. That has a lot to do with what mentoring's all about, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that the goal of mentoring should ever be to just recreate yourself, because God's made each of us very unique. He's given each of us unique gifts, unique opportunities, the way that we think about things, the way we process things, the talents that we have. No one person is ever going to be like someone else. And so the goal of mentoring, it should never be, I just need to duplicate myself. The point of mentoring, just back at Paul and Timothy, he told Timothy to stir up the gift that had been placed on the inside of him when he was prayed for and laid hands on, and they dedicated him to the Lord. And so that is what a good mentor does. They don't just try to recreate themselves, but they give opportunities for the person that they are mentoring to discover themselves, to discover what's on the inside of them, to reach into that untapped potential and just grow and flourish. And I think that that is the magic of mentoring, is that I don't have to have someone like me. I just need to recognize the potential inside of someone else and be willing to push them and to cultivate them into the person that they can be.
You know, you've done so many things that all line up.
Mm-hmm.
You were involved with the development of Ohana Pier,
mm-hmm.
And yes. That was ministering to young people, mm-hmm. helping them to become themselves.
Right.
You're a music teacher at Christ Episcopal School
right.
in Covington.
Mm-hmm.
And with that opportunity, that platform, you can help the kids to be all that they can
yes.
be. And I suspect there are other things in your life that you're doing that are similar type thing. What might some of those things be?
Sure. So at my church, I attend El Shaddai United Ministries. I actually started going there late in my teen years and got there and became the music minister, not really planning on that. I was about 16 and I mean, I had been in youth group band and everything, but once again, my pastor, Jeanette Stokes, she is yet another Paul who pushed me and kind of saw the potential, and she was like, you know what? I think that there's more in you. You're not just going to sit on a chair, sit back, and be a typical teenager, but
yeah.
she pushed me to be the music director, and she actually, I came and I only could play guitar. And it's not exactly a guitar-driven church. It's good old-school gospel church that you need a good piano player for.
Oh,
and
yeah.
at that time,
oh,
that
yeah.
was not me. So she actually put me in piano lessons. And I would kind of get these like crash course piano lessons on Saturdays about how to survive service the next day.
Oh my.
So yeah, it's quite interesting. I was the only musician at the church for several years. It was a blast. You know, I worked with a worship team who everyone was my mom's age and up, and they just kind of had to trust that this little teenage girl who came out of nowhere could lead them and could lead the congregation into worship. Yeah, that honestly yet again paved the way because when I went off to college at Oral Roberts, I originally had gone to be a missionary, and after a while I realized that wasn't exactly the direction God wanted me to go in, and I was a little crushed, quite honestly. And I know that you were a missionary for many years, Bob, but I got there and God was like, you know, I've called you to be a missionary, but it doesn't have to look like anything else, anything that you grew up knowing. And so he reminded me that I could be a music missionary and share the gospel and touch people's lives through music. And so when I came to grips with that, I changed my major and worked in the church music department and came back. And not only did I do music, but I started working with the youth. And a couple of years ago, myself and the other worship leader, we actually took over the youth department and started holding youth conferences and really just giving opportunity for the kids in our ministry to feel like they belonged, to feel like they had something just for them. I think it's really important that as we minister and as we reach young people and kids, that we really do it on their level and in a way that they understand, in a way that they feel like they matter, matter enough for us to figure out how to reach them. And so we have been going strong for about 5 years now as the youth ministers at our church, and it's grown. Our youth conferences have grown to be about a couple of hundred kids that come nice. To the youth conference, and just yet more opportunities for us to pour into them and tap on them and say, hey, we know you've got potential too. Now let's pull it out.
You know, at the beginning of our conversation, we were talking, kind of the feel was, we were talking about ministering to younger people,
mm-hmm.
helping to pull things out of younger people. But I hear you saying more than that,
mm-hmm.
which I recognize is the missionary call. And the missionary call is to bring the best out of everybody
right.
that you meet. The ladies in the choir
mm-hmm.
were your mom's age.
Yes.
and I presume you were trying to get them to be the best that they could be.
Absolutely.
And I presume that they turned out to be doing better with that leadership. So, you know, the missionary zeal really mm-hmm. has to do about taking this gift that God's given us to serve, the love, to help people to become all that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be their place in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
To see themselves as full-fledged citizens of the kingdom of
yes.
God. What an awesome thought. What
yes.
an awesome thought. It sounds like you're doing just really a great work with that. And where do you see it going? Recently, we've been doing a series called Outlook 2017.
Okay.
And we've interviewed a number of people around town, mm-hmm. pastors and community leaders, talking about what do you see for 2017? And I know I'm throwing you a little bit of a curve, but talk to me about what do you see for the future? What is God telling you about what this year's going to mean to citizens of the kingdom of God?
I think he has really had me on the kick of really investing in other people, investing in the lives of our community, because it's so pivotal in this point in our country, in society as a whole, that we really have to take time to love people. We really have to take time to pull together, despite differences of opinion, differences of upbringing, differences of belief. I think that we really have to get back to the basics of loving people, and really investing in them, showing them how much we care, no matter what that looks like. And so I believe God has personally tasked me with investing in the lives of the young women in our community, and showing them that, you know, you are loved by God. You have a purpose. God has a plan for you. You're a part of his plan, and his plan is working. I share that with the girls that I personally mentor in my group, the Divas Collective. There's statements of faith and confession that we make, and it's God has a plan. God's plan includes you. God's plan is always working. And I tell them that because it's so easy to get bogged down with what we see around us in society, what we see around us in our country, and just the unrest and frustration that we all have. But God's plan is still working. He's still on the throne. He still reigns. And so whether we look at that on a global perspective, whether we see that on a community level or in our personal lives, it's our duty to remind each other of that. We're all a part of the plan. And I believe that as we continue to invest in each other, continue to see into the potential that each one of us has, I believe that we can all pull together and be the community that we really need for today.
The things that you're talking about for the future have everything to do with unity. It has
yes.
everything to do with eliminating division,
yeah.
eliminating things that separate us,
mm-hmm.
and finding more things that pull us together
yes.
into one. We can't all agree politically, but you know, if we just love each other and accept each other the way that we are,
absolutely,
and look for the best in each other, help them to pull out the best in each other,
yes.
then we're really doing the work of the kingdom of God, aren't we?
We really are. That is kingdom. To love people, to love God, to bring unity and not division, to encourage our fellow person, and to lift each other up. That's what kingdom was. That's what Jesus was on the earth doing. He was pulling people together. He was showing them, not just telling them to love, but he was showing them how to love. And I think that he gave us the example for us to follow, to love one another, to encourage each other, to lift one another up, to be a community. He and his disciples, and even outside of just the 12 disciples, he showed them how to have community.
Yes.
And that's what we need to do.
Awesome. Well, Christy, this has just been a wonderful conversation. I really thank you for making time for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that would be kind of a challenge for us for 2017?
Sure, absolutely. I think that it's the time for us to talk less and work more.
Hello.
No. Yeah, I think that, you know, as I mentioned at the prayer breakfast, it's one thing to say, you know, that we want to encourage our youth or our young adults, or, you know, have a great community, but it's got to have action to it. It's been great to hear some of the stories from people who were at the breakfast, who have come up to me and said, you know, I am inspired. I want to do something. I've been saying I want to do something with the youth for a long time, and you know, you're pushing me to action. And it's that time. We keep saying, you know, oh, things are going to come, but the time is now. You know, we never know what tomorrow may hold. We never know how long we even have here. It's all about, what can I do today? What can I do to make a difference today? It doesn't have to be on a grand, massive scale. No one's saying we all need to run out and plan a crusade for some people. But it's those everyday things. If I see a kid who looks discouraged, how can I encourage them? If I know a kid in my church or someone that I see every day, what am I doing to invest in them? What am I doing to tap into the potential that they have and to push them, to hold them accountable and say, you know what, I see some greatness inside of you, and you know, someday you could have an amazing future, and someday you may be on the other side encouraging me, and so I'm going to sow those seeds today to Amen. Make a difference tomorrow.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your heart.
Thank you. I was glad to be here.
I hope we can do this again in the future sometime and continue to be missionaries to the community of
Amen.
Slidell.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chrissy. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037, where you can leave a text, where you can leave a comment. We want to hear from you. If you have comments for Chrissy today about something she said today, or if you've been challenged to take on a new ministry or take on a mentoring role in somebody's life, I know she'd like to hear from you. So give us a call. Let us know what God's doing in your life. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. You can leave a comment there and kind of keep up with what we're doing. Or go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. And again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.